Welcome, everybody, to The Correct Opinion, the official podcast for the Movie Blog. This week's show, we have with us Jim.
What's up?
And we have Ryan.
Hello.
Fresh off of screening The Hunger Games this week. I know that we usually have a little banter, a little bit of small talk, but The Hunger Games, I think we need to speed right into that. Ryan, you saw this movie already. I'm so jealous.
I did, and I'll just, before I go into an opinion that everyone is probably going to bash me for, just keep in mind that this is part one. It's not the full film, it's just part one. But I felt it to be a little bit of a disappointment. Actually, you know what? I won't even say a little bit. It was a huge disappointment.
No! No!
And I think... I didn't read the books personally, but I asked one of the screening reps what she thought of it, and it's the first time I heard a screening rep say that she was struggling to keep her eyes open throughout.
Please don't say names. We need to keep friends.
Oh, I won't. But it was just the thing was, it was so dialogue driven, but it was redundant dialogue.
Oh no!
Like the first 15 minutes, you get the concept. Like oh, the districts are all in trouble, and oh, we need to save PETA. Got that the first 15 minutes. No need to reiterate your point.
Yeah.
So, and this is the other thing. For everyone that's seen the trailer, that's what you get for action.
That's the whole movie?
That is all of the action throughout the movie. That's the extent of it. Yeah.
No. So
it is very dialogue-driven, trying to build relationships that just kind of seem to just fizzle out. So, I'll say that, yeah, this one just... I'm hoping for better for part two.
Oh man, you know, initially I was not into this Hunger Games franchise. I caught the first one on Netflix, immediately got hooked. My girlfriend was looking at me really strangely because I was really getting to the idea of these children killing other children. She was like, "You're a sick guy," you know. But
so
it sucked me in, and then I saw the second one, and it was on I think it was on Stars, and I was hooked, and me and all my coworkers wound up talking about it around the water cooler. So I was really stoked to see this one. We have a date to see it this weekend. I'm really disappointed to hear that you didn't enjoy the film. I definitely value your opinion.
Fun thing, though, because I actually look forward to bad Hunger Games films, because then I get to come up with a really fun pun. Like, I could say, I was left starving for catching fire. It just fizzled out. I mean, I love those, so... It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun review.
All right. Well, let's see what that review turns out to be when you get that up for us this weekend.
And everyone bashes me.
I know. Lionsgate, please don't hate us. I know we're friends now. After that, there was some other news that really caught my attention this week. One of the major things was a rumor circulating the internet regarding the next X-Men film, Age of Apocalypse. Now, the rumor right now is that Lauren Shuler Donner and Bryan Singer are considering bringing Chloe Moretz in to be a young Jean Grey.
Hit girl.
Among other few girls.
I mean, just bring the whole cast of Kick-Ass. Why not?
Well, I did read a little bit about this, as you guys did as well, but there's a... I found out that it's between her and Elle Fanning, Dakota Fanning's sister, right now. So, they both had sit-downs with Bryan Singer. I think the other one was Haley Atfield from True Grit.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be between Elle Fanning and Chloe Moretz. What do you guys think of that?
Chloe Moretz, I'm really in. I like the idea. I mean, bring Kick-Ass and Hit-Girl, make them X-Men. I love it. I don't know enough about Ellie Fanning to comment.
Did you see Maleficent?
No, I did not see Mila. Okay. It's one of those movies that I have on my radar. You know, it's one of those things that I'm going to watch, sit down with my son on Netflix. But it's not one of those movies that I ran out or wanted to run out to see in theaters. You know how I am.
You know, I remember when Chloe Moretz first really hit the screen with 500 Days of Summer. She had a great performance. I loved her. And then she came with Kick-Ass, loved her there. I absolutely loved her and Let Me In. But she just seems to be falling into like a trend of not really finding her adulthood. She's like a great child actor, but she hasn't found that role where I can really see her as an adult yet.
Well, she's not an adult, so.
Well, yeah, she's not, but.
She's like 17. I can't even look at her that way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like any of these three girls at all. I think they're too. I mean, yeah, Chloe tried to, you know, do a little bit of a adult role in Equalizer. I just, first of all these girls, like, I don't know how old they are. Hopefully they're, you know, they're probably going to be 18 or whatnot, but they're not very attractive, you know? Just on a general
chauvinist.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you need Jean Grey to be kind of hot. And these are just like, first of all, they're kind of young. They're very, like, fresh-faced, meaning, like, they're very young-looking also.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't bode well for a character who... Jean Grey is a sexy character. She is portraying one of the sexier X-Men characters. And these are just basically, like, almost kids. It just feels weird, and the whole vibe. I know they're going for, like, a younger type of Scott Summers and Jean Grey, but it just doesn't work. I mean... A few people who I would have liked, I mean, I know I'm going a little bit older in age, but Felicity Jones would have been a good casting. My favorite British chick that I keep on talking about, Gemma, you know, that's been, you know, that was in Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
I love her. I think she and maybe like a Felicity Jones even, they'd be better off in a role. They're still young. They're still in their late 20s or so, but they have more sex appeal. They look more to part. And these are basically kids, you know, and they just look like kids and they're not very attractive. I just don't like it all around.
Well, I think that's where they're going. Don't look at these teenagers.
I think that's where they're going, though. I think they're going for, because if you look at, I think X-Men Apocalypse is supposed to pick up after, probably directly after Days of Future Past and be in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
We have yet to be introduced to Cyclops or Jean Grey, so I'm pretty sure that they're going to be they're supposed to be teens at this point.
Right.
So I'm thinking that it's going to fit. Now, I think I'm going to have to disagree with you, Jim. I think that Elle Fanning she's an up-and-comer right now. She's got the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Chloe Moretz, I think she's got the acting chops. It's just I think she's had a few poor choices in films as of late. I do agree that she didn't fit that well in The Equalizer. I didn't really see her as a prostitute.
Right.
Right. And then Haley, I mean, same thing. They all are very similar in a way to each other. Just in some way, like they're like the young kind of. I just think about kids and Disney when I think of them. For some reason, even though they've done like more serious roles and stuff, it just fit that Disney mold to me, and I just don't like that.
They have nice, wholesome looks.
I heard they're picking Ariana Grande as Psylocke.
Are they?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's okay, you got me.
Come on, man. And what about Scott Summers? There's a few guys, too, that they're pegging for Scott Summers, all kind of unknowns also.
I like the idea. You know, I think Bryan Singer has a good eye for talent. He did pretty well when casting the X-Men films originally. He had a hand in casting First Class. I really trust this guy. I may not see it right now, but I'm going to give him a chance.
And we do know that Bryan's... Never mind.
Yeah, I know where you're heading with that.
Moving on. I found out that there's going to be a Rocky spinoff. I think Sylvester Stallone tweeted about it, and he made up with Bruce Willis. Let's not talk about that. But he did talk about an Apollo Creed spinoff from the Rocky franchise, in which Apollo Creed Jr. is now fighting and has Rocky as a mentor.
You know what? I think we're done with Rocky films.
I don't know how, but this guy is finding a way to try to continue to drive interest into these characters from the 80s.
I mean, maybe if Fast and the Furious keeps going, he just thinks that he can keep Rocky films going. I don't know.
You know, if it works, I'll give it a shot. I mean, I'm going to admit, I don't have a, you know, that same response. I don't have that, oh, I got to run out to this theater and see this. But I'm always a fan of great filmmaking, so I'm And I like Sylvester Stallone's latest films. They really seem to resonate with me. I'm looking forward to Reach Me. I'm looking forward to him to continue the Expendables franchise. I'm hoping that this is going to be another one of the feathers in his cap.
Is there any word if Carl Weathers will be coming back for Apollo? Or I was thinking
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
So Michael B. Jordan is rumored for the role, or I think confirmed for the role. It's really based off of what Sylvester Stallone puts on his Twitter, so it's hard to tell from that, for me anyway. But he did mention Michael B. Jordan, who is another one of these emerging young talents. I really think he's got a really bright career ahead of him. This could be one of those movies that he takes and puts on his shoulders and claims as his own. I'm hoping that it might actually work out for him.
Why does Michael B. Jordan remind me of Nick Cannon for some reason? I know the looks resemble, but I just think Nick Cannon every time you say Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan is a much better actor than Nick Cannon ever
was. Cannon can't act, first of all, but yeah, he certainly is. He, you know, but I just don't know.
I think it's that wholesome look, you know.
Yeah, probably.
You know, he started out on television. He moved on to films. It's that wholesome, familiar face, you know.
Yeah, I can see that.
In addition to the Rocky spinoff, we actually had some of the first images premiere for the Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart film, Get Hard. Now, the title makes me laugh.
In the comedy duo alone, I mean, you have Kevin Hart, who is totally on the rise right now, and Will Ferrell. I think one of my favorite Kevin Hart moments of all time is his cameo in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember. Wow.
Just the random customer that just starts an argument with, what's the guy's name from Weeds?
Andy?
No. Never mind. But, yeah, that one argument just gets me going every time. It's hilarious. But, yeah, I think the comedy duo between Ferrell and Hart, that's genius right there.
It's such contrasting styles of comedy that I can't wait to see what they come up with. You know, I'm looking forward to this way more than I did that movie he did with Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, because you're bouncing off Zach Galifianakis. It's a lot of the same type of humor. You're going to get a really wide spectrum between Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell. I think you're going to get a really good mix.
Guys are talking about Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart, The Rock's in this film. I think he might be the biggest one of them all. He's definitely confirmed to be in this film, as he's going to be taking away time from promoting and doing WrestleMania. So he's pretty much a big part of this film.
The Rock is funny.
The Rock is funny.
He's a really funny guy. I remember he did that, what was it, Be Cool?
Yeah.
Was that Be Cool?
He was hilarious.
He was hilarious in Be Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing him return to comedy, not directed by Michael Bay, I'm looking forward to that.
Even even Pain and Gain, he was kind of funny in that, even though it wasn't meant to be.
I didn't care for it as much as others. I don't think it was a terrible film. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing Kevin Hart continue this momentum. I'm hoping that these two create some really great comedy. I'm looking for, like, you know, the other guy's type of comedy in this one. But switching from comedy, completely way from left from comedy, we have Jurassic World. What do you guys think about them putting up the website? They're talking about going back to Isla Nublar. Colin Trevorrow's directing. It's going to star our Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt. What do you guys think about this one?
I think that... You know, I think it's better than what their original idea was. I don't know if you remember that, but it was Jurassic Park 4, and they were talking about the raptors learning to use guns.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're steering away from that, and actually, this seems like it's going to be almost like a reboot, in a way.
I always wondered why they never went back to the first island. I mean, they left that huge opening for another film with that DNA getting left in the mud at the end of the first film, and it just never got revisited. It boggles me to this day. It bothers me to this day. So seeing them return to the first island, I don't know if it's going to be a reboot. I don't know if they fix the island. I kind of have some information that was gleaned off of the website. They're going back to the island, you know. Dr. Henry Wu is going to be in there. I don't think we'll ever see any of the other characters return. Hopefully no Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, I was just going to say I'd love to see Jeff Goldblum.
he needs to stick to not being in Jurassic Park for me. I'm happy with them moving away from him. If they could bring back Alan Grant, I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about this movie? Are you guys excited about it? Did you guys yeah. check out the website at all?
I did. I'm a little bit indifferent, to be honest. I think it's just because I've been scorned so much by Jurassic Park sequels that I just feel like this one's, I feel like nothing's going to amount to the first one.
Well, this is going to be one where the park has already been open and they're celebrating right. their 10 millionth visitor. So it's going to be a different dynamic. It's going to be an island full of the public. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. I think that the thing is, it's been a while since the original. I mean, we're talking about like over 20 years since it came out. 1992, I believe, or 93 was the original release. Right. So it's been a while, you know. So I think we've kind of forgotten how good the original one was. And
it's been 13 years since the last Jurassic Park movie.
It was so groundbreaking for its time, too. I mean, I think people just kind of forgot about it. And now, and remember, a lot of these people who are going to, it's been 20 years. Some of them haven't even been born when it came out. So now I guess it's got a different feel to it for some reason. For me, it seems more like a reboot and seems like they're almost using the name and the concept, but it's probably going to be a different story. For some reason, I think it's going to be a lot of comedy in it. With Chris Pratt, I just have that sense of it's going to be maybe possibly like 21 and 22 Jump Street were to the original show. I think that type of potential this film has, that it's going to be just kind of for kicks. And it might be successful, but I could see them doing it like a straight-up comedy.
I don't think they will, because I think you'll probably get a few witty lines from Chris Pratt, but I'll go back to one of the films that he did, Zero Dark Thirty, where he played a very serious role. I think he has the acting chops to play a serious role.
I think he has the range. I think they're definitely going to exploit his popularity right now. And like you said, maybe throw in a few one-liners, maybe have a few moments. But the Jurassic Park franchise as a whole has always been, you know, kind of walking the line of being lighthearted and a little dark. I really enjoyed all three of the original movies. So if they kind of reboot this one into a new trilogy, keeping with Chris Pratt springboarding it, hopefully, you know, I'm excited for that idea. I'm excited for that concept. I'm excited for them bringing it back, that feeling I had as a kid in 1993 when that music would play. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I loved it. Yeah. It used to get me excited. I think I saw the movie three times in theaters as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? No matter what, next coming summer of 2015, this is going to be one of the top three biggest films and most anticipated films of the summer. I mean, obviously you have Avengers 2, but this is going to be a really slow summer coming up when it comes to films. There isn't many. This summer was really huge. Last few summers have been really big, but when it comes to films, there isn't many Marvel films or you know, superhero films. There's only, I think, three in total. I think
it's, only.
Well, considering the following year is going to be like six of them.
Yeah.
But I just think it's going to be a really kind of slow summer for movies and actually kind of like these big popcorn flicks. This is definitely going to be probably after the Avengers, the most anticipated or talked about film. So the pressure's on.
Well, I just hope the Raptors get super smart where they're basically hacking the entire network. They've learned how to use computers.
Oh, God. I mean, 2015 doesn't look that bad to me. I mean, it's got a decent lineup. They have Age of Ultron. They got Jurassic World. They've got, well, Tomorrowland, maybe I'm looking forward to. They've got Ant-Man. They've got Mad Max. They've got the Pan movie.
Yeah,
I think that's Channing Tatum's.
Ant-Man is so secondary, and I'm not trusting that movie because of all the revisions and director
switches. That's what they said about Guardians of the Galaxy, though, so I really don't, you know, undervalue any Marvel film.
Everyone's already waiting to summer of 2016, no question. I think 2015 could be a sleeper, but there's, like, no expectations for next summer.
Ted 2, The Fantastic Four, Terminator Genesis, I mean...
Boo to Fantastic Four.
Yeah, seriously.
Michael B. Jordan. I'm going to support him.
Well, yeah, I think I don't have nothing against any of the cast.
Yeah, I just think it's just weird that they're...
I do. I don't like the cast. I think it's weird.
They say it's not going to be based on any of the comics.
That's what bothers me.
Like,
in fact, I think director Josh Trank said, told the cast, like, do not open a comic book with Fantastic Four. I'm creating my own thing. You know what? What would people say if I was like, you know what? I found this Shakespeare play, Romeo and Juliet. I'm just, don't read it, though. I'm going to come up with my own thing and just use the title.
Maybe that can work. Because, you know, Fantastic Four, people really need... They've got to erase the stain that the last two Fantastic Four movies left with the audiences.
They do, but they still need to maintain the origins. There's a reason that the comic book was so popular. It was one of the most popular comic books back
in the 60s. Yeah. I mean, today, people know of the Fantastic Four, but they don't know. I don't even know if people know how they got their powers. I don't know if that's common knowledge.
Well, it might not be common knowledge to some, but also Spider-Man started in the 60s as well.
He's an exception.
No, there's many exceptions. We've got Hulk. We've got Wolverine was the 70s. There were a ton of characters started in the 80s. And you know how the 80s versus today, that was a whole different frame of mind.
Like, yeah. I mean,
so I think it's just, I think that, yeah, you need to revitalize films and redo them for film adaptations. But you need to maintain some essence of their origins.
I'm excited when people say, I'm going to throw out what's out there and try something new. That excites me. You know, it takes off the constraints of being tied to continuity. It automatically disarms people who are fans of the comics. Well, and infuriates at the same time for expectations. You know, they know it's not going to be based on the comics. So now they're going to walk into it with a clear conscience.
Well, I think you
know. Someone's calling for us.
Yeah.
For our heads, probably.
No.
It's the Fox people with Fantastic Four. So.
No, it's the Lionsgate people saying, are you talking about this movie before we told you to be the embargo lifted?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, those guys are okay, though, maybe.
Yeah, so, but I just think, I think you and I have gone through this conversation a couple times, Anthony, obviously.
Yes.
I
love Miles Morales. I said it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I think he's a great character but he's not Spider-Man.
Peter Parker is Spider-Man. A lot of people's favorites.
And it's the same with the Fantastic Four. I feel like you have to have some line where they intersect with the origins. And
I think if Miles Morales was introduced to movie audiences, it would be refreshing, especially after these last few Spider-Man films.
Only if it was Donald Glover. I want to see Donald Glover as Spider-Man.
He's too old now.
Oh, no, he's not.
Childish Gambino? No, man, let him rap.
No, that guy is such a talent. And I'm getting off topic. I would go on and on about.
I know.
Childish he's Gambino, aka Donald Glover, aka Troy from Community.
Yeah, I mean he's 31. He can't play a kid in high school.
They did it on 90210. Remember back in the day?
Yeah. Not anymore, especially if you've got such great 17-year-old talents. You know, we just talked about how there's such an upcoming, an emergence of talent coming out that, you know, they're a little baby-faced, but they're really talented. I think if they looked a little, they could find somebody. You know who I like? What's that kid's name from Everybody Hates Chris?
Oh, he's on The Walking Dead now.
He's on The Walking Dead now.
Yeah.
Tyler Williams.
Yeah.
But he's really good. You know, I'm looking at him on The Walking Dead, and I'm like, he's going to have a big career once he gets in film.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of these emerging talents that I want to see exploited moving forward. You know, don't regurgitate the same ideas. Try something new. Try a little daring. Don't be afraid to get, you know, a minority, a lead role. They just might do something great. And he's only 22. You know, give him a haircut, shave, maybe some makeup. He might be able to pass. No, he's got bags under his eyes. But somebody like him.
Yeah.
Well, I think we talked about, you know, everything we wanted to talk about this week. Did you guys want to add anything about what you guys have been up to?
I'd actually like to add something.
What's up?
Yeah.
Since Jim loves it so much, Gotham sucks.
It's
God. Dude, I'm so mad because I'm like a little bit behind.
Oh, we're losing Jim.
Yeah, Jim. Jim, you got to get off dial-up, buddy.
I'm actually cutting him off so he can't talk about Gotham.
I can't. Everyone I know who gave Gotham a chance, they're...
You know what really bothers me? I feel like, and I think I've said this since the beginning, they're really pushing sex appeal with it, and I feel like that's something Gotham is not. They're not sexy. And
no.
Did you watch the last episode?
No, I stopped watching after the weather balloon guy. I mean, Jada Pinkett is not... I don't like the show. I just don't like it.
Well, let me put it this way. At the end of the last episode, and I know this isn't a spoiler for you, Jim Gordon's wife, Barbara, was in bed with another woman.
Renee Montoya. I kind of telegraphed that a few episodes back.
Yeah, and I know that was foreshadowing for a while, but...
Yeah, Renee was a lesbian in the comics, and she's...
But just to be introduced like that, I mean, that's a cliche lipstick lesbian scene. I mean, it's really just... you know, it's Fox just pushing sex, and I just...
Listen, I hate comic book shows. I hate them. I can't stand them. I never watched Smallville, even though I heard it was amazing. It wasn't for me. I don't watch Arrow. I did try it. It's not for me. I can't stand Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I gave it a shot. It's not for me.
Horrible.
Oh, you're back. And Gotham.
I was talking about Gotham, how great it is, and apparently the gods from above, it just killed me off. So
That's because God knows that that is a bad show. And he was like, shut your mouth, Jim.
As I was saying, Gotham is getting more compelling to me. I love the inclusions of the new villains week in to week out. It's becoming more comic booky, which I actually like.
I need to watch The Walking Dead, which is a great comic book show.
I can't wait for the Graysons to debut. There's going to be a Harley Quinn Joker tease potentially at the end of this season. This show is actually doing it for me. It's the best comic book TV show going on right now.
Than The Flash?
Oh, you know what? We need to schedule a podcast where I'm sitting next to Jim so I can punch him.
Hey, I'm a little bit behind on demand because apparently people don't want me to watch it because it expired to me at the on-demand viewing. So I missed one episode. But I need to keep up with this show because I'm excited to watch it week in and week out. The mid-season finale is on Monday, and I'm expecting something good to happen.
Okay.
So, yes.
Well, keep watching, man. Let us know what you think about it next week. We'll let you continue to keep us updated, but I'm sure you're going to have to do some convincing to get us to watch, to tune in.
I'm not paid by Warner Brothers or anything to talk about.
Man. All right. Well, I think that's about everything. You know,
Have you guys kept up with Flash?
Yeah, I have.
I think it's solid. It's pretty solid. I love the inclusion. I love that they have the original Flash playing Barry Allen's father in the show. I think that's a nice touch that they added to it. I love that concept. You know, to include the original guy that started an original series and bring him up to be the father of Barry Allen in this one. I thought that was really cool. And I like where it's going. I think it's better than Arrow.
I'm looking forward to the crossover with the Flash and Arrow.
Yeah.
I'll tune in. Well, they're expecting, like, I think a full-on, you know, team-up. So that's what I'm really excited for right now. I kind of got the concept of Arrow and tuned out, but I'm waiting for the Flash to, like, generate a few episodes so I can binge watch and really judge it for myself.
And you know what? I'm actually sold on this actor who plays Barry Allen. I was kind of skeptical. You guys remember when we started a podcast, we talked about the show originally.
Yep.
I wasn't sure about him, you know, but I actually like it. I think the kid is pretty good at it. I wouldn't put him in a Flash movie, but for this show, I think it's one of the best castings they could have done. He really kind of has his ownership of that character.
Yeah, he grew up in my hometown.
Oh, nice.
Well, you got Flash from your hometown, Ryan. You know about that?
I had no idea you lived in the Flash's town.
Central City.
Here you go.
The biggest thing to happen since inception of it.
Inception. Christopher Nolan is writing an Interstellar comic. That's all I'm going to say. That's it.
Interesting.
It's going to be a prequel. That's it. There's going to be a Lego Batman movie. That's it.
I would like to see a prequel to Interstellar. Find out why that storm and why Earth was in such bad shape. I think that could have been explained nicely in a prequel, but...
That's going to be interesting to explore. I like the idea of him dipping his toes in the comics. He's clearly got a rabid fan base amongst the comic book community for his contributions with the Dark Knight trilogy. I'm really excited to see him step into that. And that's all I have about that.
Good. So next week, I'm pretty sure Daniel Baldwin's going to be joining us. He's filming right now in Florida, so scheduling conflicts. But yeah, we're going to iron that out and have him on next week. So yeah, that's going to be something fun for everyone to join and check out.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun, having one of the Baldwin brothers. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. You know, let's continue to have some great guests on the show, and let's see if we can get them to open up and talk to us.
That's how we do.
All right, guys. I think that we touched on all of our major subjects for this week. Any other last-minute tidbits? You want to throw anything out like I did?
Well, people need to subscribe to our iTunes. Yeah, podcast. So everyone, remember, when you're listening to us right now, wherever you might be, when you download it at the gym or class maybe.
I listen to us in my car. Like, on my way to work, I'll just listen. Maybe I just like the sound of my own voice, but I listen.
So yeah, the subscribe, keep us alive by subscribe.
Oh, we're definitely going to keep going. But I think that's it for this week. Thank you guys for tuning in to us. We'll be back next week with another great show. We're looking forward to having a guest. If anyone wants to submit any questions for us, we're considering the idea of doing a mailbag. So if you guys want to shoot us any questions about the movie blog, you can send... And our podcast, you could definitely send that over to suggestions@themovieblog.com. We'll be happy to accept any guest fan questions that you guys have.
Sure. Or even for more conveniently, hit us up on our Twitter page or Facebook page. Can take questions from there, too.
Google Plus as well.
Yeah. So there's many ways to get questions out for you guys wondering at home. You want us to talk about something. Something specific, maybe, that we aren't touching on, or elaborate on something more, like Gotham, which I'm willing to do, then that's the way to reach us.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, guys, again, for tuning in. This has been the Correct Opinion, the official podcast for the movie blog. I'm patting myself on the back.
I heard it all the way out here.
All right, guys, thanks. Let's do this again next week. Yeah.